Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coaching You Through All Things Education podcast. This is season 4, episode 51, and I am ecstatic today to have Dr. Gerard Phillips, principal of David E. Robinson Elementary in the Caesar Rodney School District in our state of Delaware. My fellow podcast host of the Squad Builder podcast, public speaker, and entrepreneur. Today, we are going to talk about equity as a catalyst in recruiting and retaining quality educators. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gerard.
I'm glad to be here, Anne. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed. Well, we are, like I said, I'm ecstatic.
I'm ecstatic right with you.
Right? You are everywhere on everybody's podcast. And I've been listening and enjoying, and I hope our listening audience has as well, just giving us knowledge. Of course, on Twitter, right? We actually go back, way back, and as Twitter friends and, of course, colleagues in the state, but really excited to have you and hear your wisdom today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to start with, you know, that some of your my listeners are probably familiar with you and your work, but please share a bit about who you are and the platform or platforms that you stand on.
All right. I'm a school leader. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend, a brother, uncle, a lot of different things. But I like to look at myself as an educator that's wrapped around every aspect of my life. No matter whether I'm at church or at the store running into people, not only giving and imparting knowledge and wisdom, I pride myself on every interaction with anybody. I try to learn something from that person, even if it's a child, because kids have helped me tweak some things in my practice. So the platforms that I stand on, I love Twitter. I'm trying to do a little bit more with Instagram, dropping those reels when some inspiration hit me. Like, none of that stuff is that you see it, that I post on Instagram or whatever. None of that stuff is really scripted. It's when it hits my mind, something that I've been thinking about or something I want to apply to my work. I just go on and create it and put it out there, just trying to be the content creator in that sense, between Instagram and Facebook. And then I'm going to dabble a little bit on TikTok. My teenage daughter is like, that's their thing. TikTok seems a little different because too many students are finding me. and I'm in an elementary school, so that stuff kind of scares me. So to me, but they'll make a comment like, whoa, Dr. Phillips or something like that. But one fifth grader that found me, very good young man, he goes, he said, I found you on TikTok. I said, oh Lord. He was like, no. He was like, your messages are very good. He was like, keep putting them out there. And it's a fifth grade student. I always tell him, I think he's gonna be like in the runnings for president of the United States. Like, this young man is sharp. Like, since I've been at my new school, he has blown me away. I even had to call his parents and let him know, like, your son blows me away. Whatever y'all doing, keep doing. Even though I only got to spend February to now with him, y'all know my email. Here's my work number. Keep me in the loop. So with that not going off task a little too much, those are the platforms I want to stay. Like, I love Twitter. I haven't been on there as much lately because I'm trying to really build that Instagram piece, absolutely, and really be present there.
Yes. Well, we have seen you everywhere. Those that they can look for you in those places. Excuse me. I'm wondering, could you just share really quickly, what are your Twitter handles or what is your Instagram handles for us?
Okay. So my Twitter handle, and you know, I don't even look at my handles that much. My Twitter handle is easy. It's JAPhillips0722. That's Twitter. And on Instagram, it's the same thing. You just got to add a doctor in front. So it's DRJAPhillips0722. And that's my wedding anniversary. I always use that date. Because some people say, what's the 0722 stand for your birthday? I'm like, nah, my wedding anniversary. Anything I do, I want to make sure that my bride is weaved into there, because I can't do nothing like with some of the stuff that takes me away, like if I'm staying at school late or in my man cave trying to create something, like she sacrificed a lot. So I want to make sure she's tied to anything I do. Oh. So that's where that 0722 is. And on Facebook is probably the easiest place to find me. That's Gerard Phillips, and then you'll see my my signature headshot. Yes, and yes. Good old TikTok is is Doc Phillips.
Okay, because we want to be able to find you there. We'll also be able to see some of your little clips of your different episodes that you've been on for different hosts of their podcast, but also your own, correct?
Yeah, I got a podcast episode I'm dropping on Monday or next week that principals gotta check this one out. I got a guest on that is really, it's summertime, so I got a guest on that it really will help them this summer with summer planning. Principals, don't wait till August to try to prepare. Like you gotta be doing it now.
Like,
people would be shocked if they see the stuff that me and my assistant principal already got done. That's for next year. Like, we ain't playing.
Well, that's how it's done, right? How it's done. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our next question. Thank you for sharing all that.
All right.
We are a small state with a big impact, right? That's Delaware's motto for our talent pool of educators. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase, and how does it align with your statewide, district-wide, and school-wide, as well as nationwide and global-wide goals around doing something different in education?
Okay. I got a name drop right here. When I think of small state, big impact, I think of you.
Oh.
I think of Dina, I think of Doug, I think of Steven, I think of a couple people down south, such as Equetta, Andre, and what I mean by small state, small impact, these are the people that we all connected either on Twitter, policy and practice, when we all were in the classroom or something where everybody thought it was corny or don't have time to be on Twitter. Now look, I don't forget back when I was in the classroom 2011, 2012, trying to be on Twitter, people thought that stuff was corny. What are you doing on there? Like, you getting resource, like I was getting resources from people in New Jersey and like trying to integrate them in the classroom. What are you doing? Blah blah. Like, thought it was all corny and not cool to do. Like, what is that?
We're learning, like, right?
It was only a small pocket of us, like in Delaware, that's really connected on that level. So when I think of small state, big impact, that's why I think of people like, I'm taking myself a quiz. I think people like, yo, because now look and see the work that you're doing, and you're helping one of my main core missions out of Squad Builder Podcast with recruitment and attention. I look at the work that Dean is doing, like she's out speaking in California, you know, on the platform with Sheldon, you as well, over the country, Andrea, like, and it was just all of us seeing each other on Twitter and policy and practice and just connected. That's how a small state makes a big impact, when you can block out the noise and be like, hey, I'm doing this for my career. Like, it started off for your own professional development that branched off into something bigger. And now you got people from the neighboring states looking to apply here and come to work here. That's small state, big impact, because it wasn't a lot of us doing it. And now look at the network that we can tap into. And that last part of the question, I harp on interviews, people answering every part of the question. That's one of my biggies, because like, don't be skipping over nothing. So I ain't gonna skip over nothing. and said, how does it align to my statewide, district-wide, nationwide, and global-wide goals around doing something different in education? It wraps around being able to, that part to me is being able to connect with anybody globally, get answers globally to our local problems. Because anything, in real time, in real time, like those are the key things, like I'm doing something different in education, not having a problem, knowing that, oh, my district's principal cabinet isn't for another 3 weeks, and harboring all them issues and problems, and then taking up the time at that principal's meeting, dumping all them problems on there when you got connections all over the globe that you could have been hitting up. Absolutely. Way before that meeting to get an answer.
Yes, that's an important point, you know, because like you said, I mean, we did start way back in the day.
Way back in the day. Sound
like we're old, but we're not. But no, but seriously, and we understood that, right? At mm-hmm. minimum, we knew they were experts beyond ourselves, right?
Yes.
So we saw each other within the state as experts and or in different areas, right? Because you had already been an assistant principal. I was going for assistant, right? So you had expertise in leadership that I didn't have yet, right? That's a good example of like gleaning from different mm-hmm. expertise areas. But then we didn't stop there. We weren't like, oh, okay. Well, you know, we tried it in-house. Now what's New Jersey? What's New York? What's California doing? You know, and then like you said, as time evolved, right? And as we evolved as leaders, because all of that you listed are teacher leaders, aspiring leaders currently. And so it became, oh my goodness, Japan has an idea, right? That we haven't thought about yet. We need to incorporate that into how we lead or how we teach children or how we think about teaching yep. children, et cetera. You know what I mean? And so I love your points about that, that it is beyond ourselves, right? And we sought that out and we've tried to grow that network, right? We weren't just like, okay, well, we're the only ones who are doing it. We always try to encourage people.
That's the truth.
You know, that you join too, or hey, have you gotten on Twitter? You know, and even if they giggle, then guess what? Sometimes they get on there.
That's the truth. Right? That's the truth. Yes. That is the truth.
Yes. So that's awesome. All right, here we go. What is your definition of equity, and what does that definition look like and sound like as a building leader and as a statewide leader?
Okay, my definition of equity, like I love a lot of the different definitions out there, like how Dr. Sheldon Eakins describes it, how even our state puts it out there. But me, I've simplified in my work. I just had to simplify it or break it down to giving each student and educator in my building what they individually need when they individually need it. And yes. What that looks like as a building leader for me, looking at, okay, for example, teachers. Mm-hmm. There are some teachers that will never need to come to the office. They just in their classrooms do what they do. So what they need from me is probably just a frequent check-in, like, hey, like me stopping by on them. Hey, you good? Need anything? How's your husband? How's your kids? And like, let it start from there, where some other teachers may be of the mindset of they see something in the building that doesn't quite look right. Mm-hmm. And it festers in their brain. And then you got a gossip train starting. So for that teacher, I may need to say, hey, I hear you're a little frustrated with this. You are absolutely right. That is an issue. Come talk to me. And that teacher may need of, hey, please come to here during your planning whenever these things jump into your mind. Where that's teacher B, where teacher A doesn't need all that because teacher A is like, I got enough going on in my world. I don't need to be in the office. Like my kids got all these after school activities. Doing planning on Sunday night. Like all I need is for Dr. Phillips just to let me rock. That to me, that's equity. And then like for kids, what a lot of people miss the boat on mm-hmm. is we do a lot for students that, how can I put it? For students that have challenges, but we forget about the students that are day in, day out, do everything we need them to do. So for me, equity for them is ensuring that, you know, like our student council, those kids were the ones that did the morning announcements with me. Those students when, you know, those half days or days in the school year where other, you know, their second grade teacher, if they're a fifth grader, second grade teacher needed stuff, helping break down classrooms, allowing that student like, hey, you rock out, you do you today because you've earned that right. You do everything we need you to do. Like you not being in class today, as long as it's all right with your parents, is not going to affect you because you've already go support and help that teacher. And that gives them that leadership that they want. Whereas that student with the behavior problems, we can't do that with. Like, we gotta weave in some other things on what they need.
Sure, absolutely.
And at the state, as a statewide leader, I think that what it looks like is listening to people and listening to their own journey and their own thoughts on our education space, and trying to encourage them, because it's, y'all know my positive message. I'm trying to minimize as much bashing of our profession as possible, because I think we do the best work in the country, and people need to know that. Like, they saw it in COVID, but now I'm starting to trend backwards, and I'm not gonna let that slide.
Mm-mm. Right. No, I hear that. No, absolutely. So you made an excellent point, you know, of course, with the building level, and it was really important to hear, you know, because you had experiences, you know, at different buildings, right? You know, to be able to hear that common thread of it's what someone needs, whether it be a student or a staff member, when they need it and how they need it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so important. And I think that we've gotten away from that. We're very fortunate in Delaware. I mean, I know you've been hearing the buzz across mm-hmm. the country. You know, the word equity is taboo outside of Delaware and in other states.
Yes.
Not, you know, everywhere, but in quite a few. And so for, you know, us to have from top down the support of the governor, as well, of course, the Secretary of Education and the one who came before that around equity, and then bringing that down into the building level, you know, where we have equity leads and equity discussions. And like you said, you yourself, I see yourself as an equity leader. You know, that's different than, you know, some of our other 49 states. And so, you know, for us to embrace that and to, as you said, it's an ongoing process, right?
It is.
Like, for example, I'm thinking of staff member A has so much on their plate, whatever, their mentor teacher, whatever it is, and they got it, right? They got it. They just need you to check in with them. Anything could change in life from day to day, right? And now, because you're in tune, right, you're still checking in on them, right? You didn't say, oh, they've got it and I'll never see them until it's time for observation, because I know that's not you anyway.
Yeah.
I'm saying, because you always have this check-in, you're gonna pick up on, you know, the fact that teacher A, something has changed, you know, in their life, and they could have a whole different experience, and then their needs are different, and you will be responsive. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that people really needed to understand that it's not, like I said, it's not a taboo topic, and it's not a heavy topic, right? It's really about caring, right? It's really about thinking about someone else.
Right? Care, yes.
Absolutely, right? Which is an important component of leadership. All right. So let's see. How can we apply your equity definition and implementation strategies to recruiting talent for our schools?
Oh, so this is a biggie. Oh, we need to do an episode just on this alone. This right here starts at the application screening process to me. Too many times in education, we look at somebody that may be applying to come to your school or your organization, and you see several movements within the past several years, and that's a knock on them, like they're job hopping. No, if you see they got the requisite skills and that they're taking the time to apply, do your own homework by reading through their whole application packet. And then if that's a question you have, add it to the interview, and find out. Like, stop just assuming that people are just job hopping. Because if you do your homework, I just noticed, like, 9 times out of 10, a lot of times the reason why a person left was valid. Like, I didn't think that way until I got into leadership. And like, as I'm the one looking at applications and stuff, that whole job hopping thing is far from my mind most of the time. Now, there's been out of 10, there'll be that one where it's like, it might look a little fishy, but
oh, sure.
That's looking at it from
a question. Yeah. Right?
That's looking at it from an equity mindset, or the notion of this person doesn't have the experience. Because if we hang our head on that, that means you're going to let everybody else do the training. You're going to let everybody that you bring in be trained by somebody else. And now you may have to break some bad habits. And I learned this from my wife. You might want to get somebody that's raw and mold them yourself.
Come on now. All right now. Because isn't it true that, you know, I mean, do you feel this way as well, that there are people that are moldable? Like you can, like your heart needs to be in the right place around kids, right?
Yep.
And then I can teach you this, that, and the other, you know, around teaching, et cetera. But as far as the other way around, it's really hard to change somebody's heart right away, right?
It is.
Is that what you mean by being moldable?
Yeah, but you're being moldable, whereas you don't have to hear, well, my last two principals did it this way. I've never seen it done that way. Because I'll tell anybody, if you think that you're going to come work for Dr. Gerard Phillips Sr. and that I'm going to be like every other principal, don't come work for me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't nobody else. I will admit, and that can be a detriment. But the thing that teachers work for me know is I understand that about myself. I don't want to be like nobody else, and I want to be different. So if you see something that, ooh, this could be a problem with me and him working together, come back, let's have a conversation. Because
exactly,
you may tell me something like, ooh, I do need to change that part of my practice. Exactly. Thank you. You just helped me add something to my toolbox. But
exactly. You're open, and that's exactly it. And I don't, you know, that's not always right expressed, I should say, by leaders. And so, you know, like you said, let's have a conversation, right? Just assume. So I love it. All right, here we go. Retention is the best recruitment strategy. How can we apply your equity definition and implementation strategies to retaining talent in our school?
So
that's another episode full.
So I gotta shorten my answer. For me, I think that definition of giving each individual teacher what they need in that moment, will make them feel like they are cared for by their principal. And even if they do start exploring, if they see the energy that I bring to a room or the energy that I bring to the school, or different just things where it allows them to be themselves in their own space, even if they start looking, they're going to be looking for some of those things that they still like about where they are. And if they go on an interview and they don't see that, I'm more likely to retain them, and giving people what they need, giving each individual what they need, and allowing them to have a voice. They may have friends in other schools, and they see that their friends don't get that same voice. They'll say, well, the grass isn't greener somewhere else, so let me stay put.
Okay. That is an excellent point. You know, because as we know, you know, what happens in your building is actually what people are looking towards, right? Yep. Even if before they're applying, that's the good old word of mouth, right? Right, exactly. So if you have a good, strong culture in your building, right, that good word of mouth is going to go. Or if it's the opposite, right, that also is going to trail out. But like you said, once they get hired, it can't be like you have to be a person of your word, right?
Because
leaders need grace. You know, things happen, things change. But, you know, if their timeline is different, that's different than I never did it at all. You know what I mean? And so that's fantastic. All right. So what are three tips you want to leave our listeners with regarding equity as a catalyst for attracting and retaining quality educators?
First tip is keep an open mind when hiring. The second tip I would say is challenge your own thought process around how you've hired before and how you see some of your school leader friends hiring. I think that's two. And then three, which a lot of people may not want to do, three is you really gotta continually dig into literature and mediums that are talking about equity. Like some of Unfold the Soul, Ken Williams' stuff has really transform my thinking around, ooh, these are type teachers I need. These are what I need to look for. And it really flips your brain, because some stuff you can't see in the application. So you gotta tailor your interview questions to pull that out of people. So those are the three tips. Open mind, challenge your own thought process on how you've hired before and what you're currently doing. And then three, you gotta make sure that you're staying. I gotta always add it in, you gotta make sure you're staying current on what's going on around equity. Yes. Whether it be literature or, you know, visual mediums. Like, I know some people may not want to pick up a book all the time, but man, there's enough videos you can listen to while you're driving, or enough podcasts if you ain't picking a book up to gain some of the same knowledge.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, keeping fresh and always thinking of the next thing with so many experts out there.
Yes.
In the world. All right. And this is Trending on the Podcast. And one of my questions.
I like this one.
Right, right.
Hard to narrow it down, though.
Right. Oh, it's all good. I bet you got the answer. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
Oh, that's this one. No whining, no complaining. Let's get it done.
Come on now.
No whining. No. Like, it's funny. My sister principal was messing with me. We were talking about something about education, and then like we're talking about, like, you know, the complaints around it. And I was like, you know what? I was like, if they want that wine, they better go to a bar, because don't come here with that.
I love it.
She bust out laughing. I was like, no. No, no whining, no complaining. Let's get it done.
I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. That was short and sweet, but it was perfect.
I would like to be on the billboard. Like, you can have it at the top of my head, and I'll just be pointing to it right now. Like, no whining, no complaining. Let's just get it done. Because we spend too much time on the whining, complaining piece. Like, you got an hour long meeting. About 30 minutes done passed, man. Now we only got 30 minutes to work.
How about that?
Let's come in and get to work. Like, we can't change nothing. It's already been done. So let's don't even like have a conversation about it. Like, let's just jump right in.
Let's come solution minded, right?
Ooh, solution minded. That should be your billboard. Come solution minded.
Yes, indeed. Well, my goodness, I know we're definitely going to have a part two. No, I'm serious. Absolutely love speaking with you today.
You too.
Gems, the nuggets, right, that our listeners can take away. I know I could take some things away too and use right away. So thank you so much
for your
time and energy. And until next time, we'll have an awesome rest of your day.
You too.
All right, thank you.
All righty.